Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Longhorn Mike. It's painful to say that. And everybody's favorite cousin, Hook'em Shed. What's up, buddy?
Oh, this one's for you, Steven. Hook'em, cuz.
Oh, I bet even Steven's watching this one live. You know?
Oh, yeah. He's in the comment section. I wonder what burner account he uses, you know? So, hey, man, how you doing, brother? I'll tell you what, one day closer to college football, and this has been a wild week. It was a wild comment section yesterday. I'm imagining today it's going to be just as wild.
Yeah, because everybody loves them Longhorns, you know?
You know what they do love, though? Tennessee Legend Distillery. I've never met a cousin that didn't like a little TLD. That's right. If you are in the Smoky Mountains, be sure to stop off and see our family and friends over there at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Not only will you get a bonus gift, but you will also get a discount. And they've got all kinds of flavors. Mike's showing the King Snake here. The popular one right now is vanilla. They said they can't keep it on the shelves, Mike. All them cousins coming in there. So if you are in the Smoky Mountains, be sure to swing in. They also got a location in Nashville as well.
Well, I think it's perfect for Texas fans, Shane.
Yeah.
This season. Because they're going to need it for one of two reasons.
Uh-oh.
They're going to be toasting to a title. Or drinking their day of sorrows if they blew it. You know, so no matter the occasion, I think Tennessee Legend's going to be perfect for them. But let us delay no longer, Shane. Let's get into the mighty Texas season preview here. Quick recap of last year, of course. 10-3 overall. You know, they lost to Ohio State in the opener. It just kind of, I don't know, just kind of felt off ever since that game. They were kind of sloppy, I'd say, the rest of the month, even though they won out. And then that Florida loss hit, and you're like, oh, man, I guess Stark's done, right?
Yeah.
No, sir. He turns around and whoops Oklahoma's ass. Kentucky and Mississippi State, those were a lot closer than they should have been. But, hey, we won. That's all that matters. Vanderbilt was red hot, kept them out of the playoff, and then – It was essentially a playoff game for them down in Athens, but no shame in losing to Georgia at Georgia. Hell, everybody not named Alabama loses when they play at Georgia. And then they could have caved, they could have quit, and then they humbled Texas A&M's undefeated ass, Shane. Let them know who the little brother was once again. And then they absolutely steamrolled sorry ass Michigan in a bowl game. About the only bowl game the SEC won, thanks to Texas. You know what?
Yep. You can't spell citrus without T-U, can you? Hey, I say, man, it felt off, right? This the entire 2025 season. I mean, if you take a 30,000 view of this thing, I feel like you're saying, hey, not a bad year. Right? We lost to Georgia, playoff team. We lost to Ohio State, playoff team. But like you said, it just never felt like Texas could get it going. And then when they did, it almost felt too late, right? It just felt like the games that they needed to win, they couldn't. And the games they should win, they barely did at times. So it was not a great year, even though 10-3 is nothing to balk at. But the expectations are a lot higher down there in Austin, Mike. I mean, you got to remember coming into that season, we already crowned Arch Manning as a Heisman Trophy winner. We already crowned him as a national title contender. So that bar was set, and they just never were able to hit those expectations.
We're just a season early, Shane. That's all it was.
A little premature, right?
Yeah. Well, shout out to Steve Sarkisian. Speaking a little premature there. So, you know, hey, he's done a hell of a job, a lot better than I thought he'd do at Texas, getting better and better, multiple playoff trips, back-to-back semi-final appearances. I believe he's obviously Kirby, but he's the only one that has done it recently in the Southeastern Conference, done multi-playoff appearances here. So shout out Sarkisian. And again, slight step back, but Yeah, when your step back is a better season than damn near anybody, that's still pretty damn good. He's got a good record against Southeastern Conference teams. You know, critical. He's got the Oklahoma. He's got a winning record, 3-2 against him going back to the Big 12 days. I think it's equally as important that he's 2-0 against A&M. You just got to clean up that Georgia record, Shane. Just clean that up. And he's damn near got a flawless conference record. You know what?
He really does. I give Sarkisian a tough time. I give Texas fans a tough time. But I mean, this is a coach that has won a lot of really good games in the Southeastern Conference already. It's not like they're squeaking by Vanderbilt or, you know what I'm saying, or some of these teams that maybe have struggled. We're talking about some heavy hitters, man, owning Texas A&M, right? You know, you look at that one. Pull that list up one more time. There's another one in there that kind of stood out to me.
In fairness, you said squeaking by Vanderbilt. I mean, that's kind of what they've done both times, Shane.
No. They're just
both of them.
They're playing with their food. That onside kick, that was just to boost ratings because nobody was talking about
it. Yeah, but you said we're not squeaking by Vanderbilt. That's quite literally what they've been doing.
Terrible. That's a terrible one. I shouldn't have used that one. But
we can buy Kentucky, Mississippi State.
I mean, 1-1, Alabama. I mean, there's a lot of teams a lot of coaches have losing records with Alabama. There's a lot of coaches that have losing records with Oklahoma and Texas A&M. And
right.
And I don't know. Again, this is a Longhorn show today. So I ain't gonna stand for it, Mike.
Well, I'm just trying to be accurate here. Hey, shout out Steven up. We appreciate you, buddy. Just, let's see some of that Texas money.
Always showing up.
Road Tide.
Boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven up.
Thank you, cuz.
And then, Cousin Glenn, we appreciate you, buddy. You missed the Oklahoma preview watching them celebrate the national championship. Thought this morning. Boomer, appreciate you, Cousin Glenn.
Hell yeah.
See, that's welcome, a nice comment. There was nothing bad about Texas Air.
Yeah.
Every donation of the Texas people during the Oklahoma one was like just Sooner slander. You know what? All right, so here's a quick little recap, Shane. Program recent history for them Texas Longhorns, and again you're seeing some red here, so it, which is a little bit unusual I would think for a program of this nature, but again he was taking over a broken program, and he has put it on solid footing among the national elite, so you're seeing a lot more green than you are red, and most of that red was in his first year. So a couple things that stand out to me, Shane. Overall talent, when Sark took over, they weren't even in the top 10. They were number 11. They are getting better. Six the next two seasons and four the last two. So talent's getting better and better. They just signed another really good class. So talent, we all know, I mean, talent is not the issue, but it's been championship worthy and it's getting even better. Now, one thing, though, and I've highlighted this many, many a time, I think it must be stated, Shane, offensive success rate, though. What? I mean, Sarkisian?
Yeah.
Guru, offensive guru, allegedly, and then he's got nothing but Quinn Ewers was quite literally the highest-rated quarterback prospect ever. And then Arch Manning, who I was working for a website, Shane. This is not even an exaggeration. We've been covering him since he was in the eighth grade. You know what I mean? Like, he's that hyped. Yet, our offensive success rate has gone backwards the last couple of years, and it was 104th last year with a lot of talent. So, that has got to get cleaned up, obviously. Now, we can blame that on the offensive line, and I think just, you know, a one-year outlier, we can live with that. But that is something to monitor this season. You can't get much worse than 104th in offensive success rate. So, if we're... Surely to God, we're not going to be worse than that. But if we're not in the top 50, I think something's gone horribly wrong here.
No, I'm right there with you. And you know, when I think Sarkisian, I think of offense, and I'm looking at even points per game. This is a kind of a trend in the wrong direction. You know, so
right. And to your point, Shane, let me just clarify for the audio. So in 2023, Texas points per game, 13th in the country. Mm-hmm. 24. They were 24th in the country in points per game. Last year, 40th. points per game. And again, I get it. It's tough in the SEC. It ain't easy. But with all the money, all the talent, Steve Sarkisian, you cannot be having the 40th offensive scoring in the country. There's no excuse for that.
No. That will not keep you employed. You know what I'm saying? not if you're bringing the talent that they are on the offense, right? What's crazy is when you look at some of the talent that they've been able to bring through there, and you're seeing that production even at that next level in the NFL. It's like, what are we doing here? You know, this should be if not the most explosive offense in the country right now.
Right. And it'd be one thing if it's, a Brent Venables and they don't have an offense. Again, I'm not saying that's excusable, but Sarkisian, offensive genius, right? So that's on his shoulders. But speaking of geniuses, Shane, Muschamp, allegedly, defensive genius. Now, this was interesting. I don't even know how to break this up, Shane, because this guy, he's been coaching for eons here. But I went all the way back because that's what the Texas fans say, right? Man, last time we had him, we were dominant. And it's true. I'm looking it up here. They were top 10 in efficiency, top 10 in success rate. But that was 2009, 2010. I mean, we could have a long list of, Shane, like Les Miles was elite. Yeah. 2009, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't trust that man at a Dairy Queen, you know what I mean? So
Right. Again,
I'm not saying Muschamp's an idiot like Les Miles, but that was so long ago. I don't think that really means much. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at some of these others, Florida, they were good. Auburn, and these are just the defensive numbers because that's all we care about with Muschamp. Auburn was not good. He was just there 1 year. South Carolina was not good at all. Now, again, South Carolina did not have elite talent. Mm-hmm. Georgia, they did, and the numbers were outstanding. So point being is I don't know how to rate this guy, Shane. I mean, he's
– well,
you can look at it and say he's amazing. You can look at it and say, I don't know, is this really an upgrade?
I think he lives up to the billing based on the talent he has. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I'm looking at it, because this is there's a lot of numbers here. But what I do see is when he has the talent, he does well with it. When he doesn't, he struggles. And you see it with Georgia. You see it earlier, like you mentioned, with Texas. So I am a little more optimistic that, hey, what Muschamp wasn't able to do was get the talent there. However, when he has it, he gets the most out of it.
Right. And believe me, we're going to get to it, Shane.
Yeah.
He's got the talent down in Austin. You know what I mean? So
maybe
there's something to that. All right. So let's jump into the returning production, Shane, for them Longhorns. Sticking with the offense for now, 51% of their offensive production is back from last year. That is sixth most in the Southeastern Conference. We calculate this with passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps back. So King Arch is back.
Yeah.
97% of the passing is back. That's number two in the conference. That's great. What's maybe not great, Shane? He's our leading rusher. It's back. 31% of our rushing is back, 14th in the conference. Again, we attacked that via the transfer portal, but Arch, he is a true dual threat. Nearly 400 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns. I didn't realize he had 10 rushing touchdowns. What a beast. Receiving yards, 44% are back, 7th in the SEC. Ryan Wingo is our leading returning receiver with 834 yards from last year, 7 touchdowns. And then offensive line snaps return 32%. That is 9th. In the SEC, but we got some studs, Shane, including Trevor Goolsbee, who they say will very likely going to be the top offensive lineman selected in the next draft. So star-studded at quite literally every position on offense here.
Yeah. But again, rushing and an offensive line, it's just that's something I would love to see higher, but you know, we're going to get to some of the additions here in a little bit, but You know, I felt like Texas many times last year relied too much on Arch Manning. And it was mainly because of that rushing that we didn't see that balance. So, you know, maybe they're just making room, Mike. They were just making room.
I believe it. All right, defensive returning production, Shane, 59% back for the Longhorns. That's number 5 in the Southeastern Conference. How's this calculated? Tackles for loss and sacks, passes defended and interceptions. So they're 56% in tackles returned. That's 7th most in the SEC. Tackles for loss and sacks are very high up there, 67% back. That is 3rd most in the conference. And then passes defended and interceptions, 55% back, 6th in the SEC, led by some All-Americans, All-World, All-Texas, whatever you want to call it, Shane. We bring back a ton of talent on the defensive side of the football, which fired up old Will Muschamp. He's probably punching a dry erase board just listening to this.
Yeah, put it back on me here, Mike. This is Muschamp looking at all that returning talent. Yeah, he's looking at them. He got the glasses on. He's ready.
All right, so let's get into the transfer portal, Shane. So, doggy, transfer portal. Ooh, I just realized I screwed something up, but they'll never know if I don't mention it, right, Shane? So, again, this is a really, really good class, depending on any outlet you look at. 22 transfers in, 23 transfers out. They spent them some money down there in Austin, Shane. Cam Coleman. Again, another one who's likely to be a first-round pick whenever he's eligible for the NFL draft. Hollywood Smothers got a cup of coffee down there in Tuscaloosa, said, I want to go play for some winners, and transferred again to Texas. So they stole Bama's, would have been starting running back. Ian Giffard from Arkansas. I know Arkansas wasn't good, but hell, he was a solid nose tackle. I mean, we're just adding depth over here, Shane. They added several offensive linemen that are projected to start. Rasheem Biles, a name to know, Shane, the linebacker. He had over 100 tackles, 17 tackles for loss at Pitt last year. A Relique Brown, another one. I've been watching a lot of Sam Levitt games to try to get a feel for what LSU's getting in him.
Mm-hmm.
His running back was Brown. That guy was... he was awesome. So he's a guy like people don't even talk about. They all talk about Smothers, but Relique Brown, I mean, he might be even better than Hollywood Smothers. So Texas added a ton at running back, and, man, they just talent on talent on talent down here.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. Nailed this 24-7 we're going with, right, Mike? Absolutely nailed it, this portal class. And you know me, man. Absolutely in love with Cam Coleman. I have been ever since he entered the Southeastern Conference, and I think he's going to pair well. So, obviously, going to steal the storylines. This will be a lot of the conversations we'll have when we're at media days. But this is a team that, I mean, Sarkisian went out here and got what he needed, right? And it felt like he could get what it. You know, it's funny when I go to the grocery store a lot of time, Mike. You know, I try not to go hungry, but I just take this buggy around and, you know, hey, I like this. We get this, whatever. But sometimes you got to go to the store and you got to be precise. And I feel like that's what Sarkisian was. He just went in there, got the 5-6 ingredients he need to make this national title run.
Yeah, I think that's what Cousin Lou does too, Shane.
Oh, there it is.
Lou. Good morning from Korea. 8-19 and OU still sucks. Hey, Korea. That's kind of weird that we're
South Korea.
I hope so. Yeah, but
or we're getting flagged.
Appreciate you, Lou. Ooh. All right. So, and then recruiting, Shane.
Yeah.
Buddy. Just another top 10 class in the country, which was number 5 in the Southeastern Conference. But it's pretty wild, Shane, because they landed 3 5-stars.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 linebacker in the country, Tyler Atkinson. Number 4 quarterback in the country, Dia Bell. Number 6 edge defender, Richard Wesley. And then just a couple high-end 4-stars, Shane, like Jermaine Bishop, number 2 athlete in the country. Number four running back in the country, Derek Cooper. Number four offensive lineman, John Turrentine. And number six defensive lineman, Jamarion Carlton. These are about a handful of the 20 studs they've added via high school. But the problem is, Shane, unless you are an elite athlete, it's hard to get on the field day one down in Austin. I think some of these guys will.
Yeah.
Because they're so damn good. But for the rest of them, you're gonna have to work to get on this field.
Half of them walk-ons, you know? Couldn't even afford to give them a scholarship.
I think you're right, Shane. I think you're right. All right, so let's jump into the offensive depth chart here, projected depth chart here. And, ooh, a lot of transfers, Shane. Again, maybe that's what they needed.
Yeah.
To give them a boost. Because, again, the offense has been a big-time issue here. And this was difficult. I didn't know which ways to go, Shane, because I'm not seeing a lot of holes here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing a lot of separation either. It's similar to the last one we did. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say receivers and tight ends. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, Shane. Ryan Wingo's back. He's an elite athlete, of course. Emmett Mosley's back. Ryan Niblett. These are contributors from last year. And, of course, the transfers Cam Coleman and Sterling Burkhalter from Wake Forest. I think we got us a pretty damn good group here.
Yeah.
And Jermaine Bishop, he was that number two athlete. I think he's going to plug in at receiver. So they classified him on the recruiting sites as an athlete. I think Texas sees him as a receiver. So just add a five-star back here. and that's what we're working with in Austin. I think these tight ends, and they added a bunch of tight ends via the transfer portal as well. I think all these tight ends and receivers are going to be pretty damn difficult to stop.
I think so too, man. And they're just, I mean, when you got Cam on one side, Wingo on the other, and then you got, just one of the most elusive wide receivers, Mosley, dancing around. It could be really fun to watch.
And remember, Mosley's the guy, don't kick it to him because he'll return it on your ass. You know what?
What do you have? It says there, two punt returns. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, God.
No.
And about, he set up about a half dozen other touchdowns, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so quarterbacks, I'm all in, Shane. I'm all in. I'm right there with old Steven Lassen, at least for today. Give me Arch Manning and the quarterbacks. Hell, I don't know if you realize this, Shane. He scored 19 touchdowns in the last six games. Buddy. I mean, he was heating up here in Austin. I think he figured it out. And even in the game, the game that they lost that kind of really killed him down the stretch, Georgia, I thought he played really well in that game too. But the receivers didn't do him much help in that one. He was not the reason they lost. I think it was more the defense. So give me the quarterbacks, led, of course, by Arch. Lacey there as a backup. We just signed a five-star freshman. I mean, we're absolutely loaded at quarterback.
Yeah, we are. And I feel like, again, this is a scenario where you think your quarterback does better just because of the weapons he's got around him. And I feel like the loading up, especially in that wide receiver room, is going to help Arch Manning kind of stretch this field, if you will.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, again, I'm splitting hairs here, but give me the running back, Shane Hollywood Smothers, dynamic athlete. And Relique Brown, who had over 1,000 yards at Arizona State last year. So you combine these guys, they just had about 2,000 rushing yards last year, 10 touchdowns, and over 70 receptions. So good luck stopping them. And then we got Derek Cooper, the number four true freshman running back. So I think we'll be pretty good at running back, Shane.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, because like you said, splitting hairs, the offensive line is going to be right there with them. But it's like a 3A, 3B scenario for me as well. And a lot of people excited about this new running back room because, brother, if it hits, man, this may be the most balanced offense in the Southeastern Conference. You know what I'm saying? It feels like some of the ones we've gone over, it's like, this wide receiver room's loaded, but we're going to need some work with the running backs. But this one here feels like either one of them can hit off. So this This feels like the best balanced offense that Sarkisian's had in a long time.
I'd combat you if I could, Shane. I'd combat you if I could. All right, that left tackle, of course, is back. Goolsby, he's outstanding. Uh-huh. Connor Robertson, starting center's back. Brandon Baker, starting right guard. So multiple starters back. And then we just added, just an All-American from Western Kentucky. Just plug his ass in there. And then how about Melvin Ciani from Wake Forest? He started every game and didn't allow a damn sack. So these are just some of the all-stars we've added to this unit. And we got talent behind them as well. So I put offensive line last. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a huge, huge hole. But I think, just talking to Texas people, that is kind of the one lingering uncertainty. I won't even call it a question mark, but uncertainty. And I think a lot of that has to do with last year and how that burned us. But last year's offensive line's got nothing to do with this year. So
yeah.
I'm just putting them last because they got to prove it to me.
Are you worried at all about the depth of this offensive line? Is that, I'm just wondering if that's part of the reason you have them maybe below the running backs.
That's pretty interesting that you asked me that, Shane. It's like you're reading off my notes. Because I wanted to shout out this website that I discovered recently.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn cool, I think. And I want to give them a plug, not like they're a sponsor or anything. I think it's called cfbdepth.com. Mm-hmm. And you could, it's got full-on breakdowns of all these rosters. It gives you grades and all kinds of things. It says the starters for Texas at receiver, running back, tight end, and offensive line, A+. And you're like, can't get much better than that, can you? It says depth, receiver, running back, tight end, and offensive line, F.
Damn.
So don't get hurt. You know what I mean? I mean, at any of these positions, again, I take that for what it's worth. I don't know who puts that together, but they do it for every team in the country. So I don't know if they're from Oklahoma. They might be from Oklahoma, Shane. But if they are, I don't know why they're rating them A+. But I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I was just looking at all those did not plays sitting there behind them. You know what I'm saying?
They were just getting stronger.
Yeah, is that it? Yeah, the Jays better crank it up here. Oh, Jordan Jaydner Jackson, come on now.
All right, so let's get to the defense, Shane. And, buddy,
ooh,
we're returning a lot of starters on this side of the football. And when we're not returning a starter, we're just plugging in and an All-American via the transfer portal. So where we go with defense, I'll go defensive line. I believe our buddy Steven Lassen's got this as the top defensive line. I think that's what he said. I think he said another team now that I think of it. But he had Texas like two or three, I think. So defensive line's deep as hell.
Yeah.
Bringing back a ton of guys that started, guys that have played, and just inserting five-star freshmen and elite transfers that started in the SEC. So that we are absolutely loaded. And I think of any position, really in college football now more than ever, Shane, I want defensive line talent and depth. I think that'll get you further than quite literally any position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Texas may have the deepest, them and Georgia, I think, have the two deepest defensive lines in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I think so, man. I feel like that defensive front especially is just cemented. And this could be, God, I hate to talk about it, this may be like the Oklahoma last year. You know what I'm saying? Just that big, ugly defensive front. And I'm looking for this unit to shine.
All right. And then the second, I'm going defensive back, Shane, with multiple starters back, like McDonald and Littleton. And then we got guys, they just played about 10, 12 games apiece here with Cade Phillips and Xavier Fils-Aimée and Derek Williams and Jordan Johnson-Rebell. I mean, Kobe Black, all these guys played and played extensively. And then we add guys via the transfer portal. Just add Rutgers' best player and just add him to the mix, Shade. So I think we are absolutely loaded in the secondary as well. And the fact that I'm putting linebackers last, I think they might have the best damn player of the entire team, Colin Simmons. I mean, I don't know what to call him, but it I don't know, linebacker, edge defender, but I'm classifying him as a linebacker here.
Yeah.
He's the best player on the team, I think. I think he's even better than Arch, believe it or not, with his, just 12 sacks last year, ho-hum, stuff like that. But, I think Colin Simmons may be the best defensive player in the country. So, really, really good. No holes in this defense right here.
Well, I mean, you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, okay, we may have at some point the number one quarterback selected in the draft. We'll probably have the number one wide receiver. Oh, the number one offensive lineman for sure. Colin Simmons. Yeah, he may be the first defensive player selected. So, and it's not just individuals, right? It's waves of talent on the defense. Unlike the offense, I feel like they've got, we'll get to it. There'll be plenty of conversations about competitive depth behind that offensive line, especially. But I feel like this defense is a different animal. This is deep, and there are loads of talent. And the guys backing them up will also be first round picks at some point.
Remember, I heard they got 30, 35 draft picks on this team. That's what they're saying down in Austin. So I'm just sharing what I'm hearing. Just like Cousin Lou. Shout out Cousin Lou, Shane. Laugh out loud from South Korea in the morning, drinking Tennessee whiskey. Watching this awesome preview of Mighty Texas.
What time is it over there in South Korea anyway?
He said 9 in the morning, I believe is what he said.
9 in the morning and Oklahoma still sucks.
All right. Shout out Sipley, non-Texas fans. Does this team scare you this year? Be honest. This is a safe spray.
Is it just those two guys in the comment section?
All right. Then as for kicker and punter, though, question marks. I mean, the transfers, they added quality transfers, right? A guy from Memphis, I'm going to butcher his name, Gianni Septic, something like that. 14 of 17 kicking field goals last year. So, That's what you do, Shane. And they added Florida State's punter. Yeah. Florida State was so garbage. The punter got some work in. So he's probably the best damn punter Florida State's ever had, if I had to guess.
That's like their highlight now. It's like, look who replaced him, So.
All right, so let's do a quick recap. Shout out our good friend and number one Texas homer, Stephen Lassen, for giving us these anonymous coach comments from the Athlon Sports Magazine about a month ago. But here's what they said about Mighty Texas, Shane. On paper, I think they're the team to beat in the SEC. They might be preseason number one again. Arch Manning is going to be just fine. I think he did a good job of managing it, but he was put in a tough situation. It was literally a Heisman or bust situation for a kid who hadn't even played yet. But he's super talented. He does everything right. He prepares hard. He'll be just fine. I think Steven actually wrote these ones. They continued. They made more bold moves. Obviously, there's a ton of money in that program. So you've got to feel like they made moves that they felt they had to make their program better. What's that going to look like after a loss or two? I don't know. I thought Arch Manning got better as the season went on. Is he what he was unfairly hyped to be? Probably not, but I think he's a good, solid quarterback in this league. So overall, pretty positive.
Pretty positive, right?
Kind of sounded like a coach, though, that lost some recruits to Texas. Ain't as good as they're saying, but they're good.
If we had that money, I mean, we'd be right there in the mix.
That's what I got from that.
Absolutely. But I do like the first ones, right? The first one felt pretty confident. Like you said, it felt like Steven may have wrote this one. But out of all the comments, I would to see another coach say that about this team, I think that speaks volume to what they really have down there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so biggest camp question. I think they got to develop some depth.
Yeah.
On offense. Not on defense, I think they're going to be just fine. But I think that'll be critical. And I don't know how much this is really an issue. I'm kind of like, you're like searching for some uncertainties here.
Yeah.
They had a lot of key guys have surgery in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody kind of does that, right? But I'm talking Arch Manning, Trevor Goolsbee, the outstanding left tackle, Ryan Wingo. Emmett Moseley, Xavier Fields will meet the safety, linebacker Ty Anthony Smith. All these guys, Shane, had surgeries. And again, Texas has said they're going to be good. They're going to be full. And that's why you have the surgeries in offseason, to get healed up and get rested for the season. But I just listed off some of the best players on the roster, Shane, that were not active for some of the offseason. So where's that continuity? How healthy are they? You got to manage these guys, right, to where you don't want to just you don't want a reoccurring injury, but you also got to get them in football shape. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. Again, I'm kind of searching for uncertainties, but that's a lot of key guys there. So I think that is a fall camp something storyline to watch. But I think the biggest one of all, and whether this team wins a national championship or not, it's going to come down to Muschamp. Yeah. And what he gets out of this defense, and if they can get tougher, more physical, because I think that's why they lose to Georgia.
Yeah,
because I don't think they've been as tough. I was about to say I don't think they're as tough, but I think it's clear as day they've not been as tough as old Georgia, and it has shown. We'll see what it looks like, Muschamp, if he can whip her ass into shape. You know what?
Oh, you know he will. And you see him in the spring game cussing out the ref that they paid for. So, yeah, he's ready. I feel like they're going to get these boys right. And, and that's the mentality you got to have. Like, I feel like when you're with a program like Georgia, Muschamp last couple seasons, it's just when you walk through the doors, you know that this is a team that's going to be at least – close, if not competing for a national title. The only reason we don't win a national title is because of me. So I feel like that attitude is exactly what Muschamp took down there to Austin.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Cousin Lou. Was waiting for our Yale leaders cousins to show up. Little brother, stay in your lane.
Oh, man. A&M catching a stray.
Hey, they can talk though, right? Because they own their ass.
Yeah. 3-0, I think you said Elko, or 0-3 Elko against them.
Well, 0-2.
0-2. Oh,
but shit. But this year would be 3.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a big game for them. All right, let's break down the Texas schedule here, Shane. Over under 9.5. This is the highest, tied with Georgia, highest number over under in the SEC. So it's interesting that we don't even have double digits anymore. I think that's a factor of the 9-game schedule and all that, but is what it is. Texas, little under 3-1 to win the Southeastern Conference, 7.5-1 to win the national championship. Chance, one of the highest odds in the country. They open the season with 3 straight home games: Texas State, Ohio State, UTSA. Then they're on the road at Tennessee for their first conference game. Then they get a bye. Then they get Oklahoma and Dallas, as always. Florida at home, Ole Miss at home, Mississippi State at home. Another nice little 3-game home slate there. But then it gets a little brutal, a lot on the road. At Missouri, at LSU, Arkansas at home, at A&M. Thoughts on that schedule there, Shane?
Well, it's funny. This time last year, we're talking about how easy Texas' schedule is. And if you recall, the strength of schedule is 3. Now we know exactly what they have. I mean, you got Ohio. I say this, but they may have the most returning college football playoff teams that they have to face. You got Ohio State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. So yeah. If those boys if they're similar at all than what they were last season, I'm telling you, brother, Texas is going to be in an absolute dogfight every Saturday. But this is not an easy road to title town, you know?
Yeah, and I think that has been overlooked.
Yeah.
Just how difficult this damn schedule is. But having said that, Shane, you ready to play a little win-loss toss?
Yeah, don't forget, they got to play Texas too, you know?
So here's how I got the win-loss toss for Mighty Texas, Shane. You tell me if I got it right or wrong here. Games that should be wins, I got 8. Texas State, UTSA, at Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, at Missouri, and Arkansas. Do you disagree with any of those should be wins?
Oh, I'd love to switch at Tennessee to a toss, but I do think that you actually nailed this one, Mike.
Okay. And then I have no games that should be losses.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I got four that I view as toss-ups here. Ohio State at home, Oklahoma, at LSU, at A&M. Would you agree with those four tosses?
I would agree with those four tosses, Mike.
And on the bright side, Shane, two of those tosses,
mm-hmm.
A&M and Oklahoma, you kind of have owned their ass.
Do you think they'll be, just looking at the schedule, they'll be favorites in every game, won't they?
Likely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just want to hear you say it.
Jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead, Shane. Jumping ahead. How dare you on this show? All right. So let's get into it, Shane. Best case, week by week.
Yeah.
Predicciones. I didn't do a lot of research on Texas State. I didn't want to bother the people's time, Shane. We're going to whoop their ass, right?
Absolutely. And I hope Arch Manning scores the first touchdown running and he's flexing on some defender in the end zone like Sam Houston.
All right, now comes a real challenge. And perhaps this year, Shane, maybe it'll do us better not opening with Ohio State, but getting them, you know, a game in.
Yeah.
Especially after we looked at the offensive depth chart, and there's all these transfers. So maybe to get a game under our belt, I think that'll help. Obviously, playing at home is always much more an advantage than playing on the road. But hey, let's be honest too. Ohio State's had our number.
Yep.
Lost to them two times in a row. They've got quite possibly the best player in all of college football, Jeremiah Smith. They got a quarterback that some people think is a future first-round pick, Julian Sain. He was Saban's last quarterback. That's going to follow him, but he's like on his grave. It's going to be like, this is Saban's last quarterback in Alabama. Don't you know it? But again, how good is he? I don't know. But even noted Longhorn homer, Shane, Stephen Lassen, he's got Ohio State as the number one team in the country in his Athlon Sports College Football Preview. So I hate to do it, Shane. But I think, like a lot of these, you got to beat them before I pick you to do it. So I'm going to pick a loss here. Maybe it'll motivate them the rest of the way.
Yeah. I think you started out the right way. Last year, I keep going back to last season, some growing pains going up to Columbus, trying to get that win. It was an ugly game, but there were moments. There were definitely moments Texas could have won that thing. I feel like if they could have had, you know, a cupcake team. I mean, Ohio State, same scenario. They're going to have a tune-up game. I think they play Ball State or something like that week one. So they'll have a little tune-up themselves, but I like Texas at home here. I feel like this is kind of where you plant your flag, right? This is where you say, okay, we've been playing with our food long enough, Mike. This truly is the season that we are going to win a national title. You do that by punching a team like Ohio State in the face. So I really do hope that this is a blowout because I hate seeing Buckeye fans in the comment section, which they will be here if something happens. So to avoid that, let's give Texas a win here, starting the season 2-0.
I think the SEC needs it, Shane.
Yeah.
For bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas needs it even more because for everything you said, you can shed the overrated. Hell, I think Texas is a slight favorite, but if I was Sark, I'd be praying. Make Ohio State the favorite. I don't care if it's by a quarter of a point. You know, just let them be favored. Let them be number one. Blah, blah, blah. We don't stand a chance. And then you come in there and smack them. I'll tell you this, Shane. If Texas beats Ohio State, they should be the favorite to win it all.
Oh,
at that time. You know, things can change. Remember last year it was like LSU Clemson winner. I think's going to win it. Like, things could change, but 2 weeks in, I think that's the biggest. And again, if it's Ohio State, then they should be the favorite. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's big for the conference. We said this with Oklahoma and Michigan. I it's a temperature gauge that we're trying to compare ourselves to Big Ten, right? Big Ten's owned our asses last few seasons. So we don't want some SEC teams to get left out of playoffs because we couldn't take care of business at home. And I feel like Texas has got to do it this year. So this is a big game. I'm glad it's on the schedule. I'm glad they didn't run away from it. They embraced it. And we're going to have a hell of a football game here.
You know what won't be a hell of a football game, though?
What's that?
Week 3 UTSA. Get that headliner here. We're going to pick our score that day. You know what?
Absolutely. Again, perfect schedule placement. You know, you got two of these weak-ass opponents. You can kind of – maybe you may even have to sit some people, right? Just got in a fight with Ohio State. You may have to – hey, take a rest. We got Tennessee coming next week. So you are correct. They start out, in my opinion, 3-0 here.
Okay. So week 4
– this one hurts.
UT, Shane. Neyland Stadium.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many people, I love it because Tennessee does better anyway when people are doubting them, but everybody and their mother. I mean, some people don't even have Tennessee as top 25. You should look at the comments. People are like, I see 5 wins on that schedule. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's perfect. Just keep saying that. I promise you, Tennessee's going to march your ass to the college football playoff if you're predicting 5-6 wins. I mean, that's just... I followed that team long enough to know that's the way it goes. Josh Heupel, I think, is criminally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen it, Shane. We have seen it. Texas go into these environments that they're not ready for. They're not prepared for. They never played in before. The Swamp. They still call it that. They do. And they, you know what? They call it Neyland, a damn house of horrors for a reason, Shane. Give me Tennessee to pull the upset here. Going on the road, I think that's going to be tough for Texas.
I think it will be too. There's a couple of things, though, that I think will be in Texas' favor. For starters, this game will be played early, right? Tennessee quarterback situation, what's it going to look like? They've had a couple of decent games, but this is going to be by far the toughest opponent. The home field advantage obviously is going to be big for Tennessee, but I don't know, man. This one for me is going to come down to that elite defense we talked about. That's how you quiet a crowd when Tennessee goes 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, when your quarterback's running for their lives, staying balanced on offense. Arch Manning doesn't have to win this game. The defense can win this game. It's going to be a tough one. Honestly, you can't let Tennessee get loose because if they do, We may have a shootout, and I'm going to favor a Josh Heupel shootout over any coach right now. But I do like Texas to come up here to Knoxville and get a win, as much as it pains me to say.
Right. Undefeated, according to Shane here. So. Yeah. All right, so the next game, Shane, 2 weeks to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma. Oh.
Yeah.
On their ass. They can't even score on us, Shane. Have you? I think it's been 3 seasons since they scored an offensive touchdown on us. How about that, Shane? So, and the one time they did beat us, it was a damn miracle. It took it the last play there. So, yeah, I mean, Texas got their number. I just don't see any way Oklahoma can be competitive with Sarkisian, Arch Manning. I mean, they got a kicker. I'll give them that. That's about it. They got a decent defense, but even it, when it's stacked up against us, it doesn't look anything like it. But also, Shane, Oklahoma's, they've had a whole 365 days to stew on this one. So I have been told many a time, Shane, you don't want to be favored in this game. And I can almost guarantee you Texas is going to be favored, probably by a lot.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma be coming off at Michigan, at Georgia. They may have lost one, if not both of those. They could be down in the dump, season on the line. By a field goal, Shane. Oh. Give me Oklahoma.
Golly. Is this a Texas preview? Because the last Texas game I previewed against Oklahoma, they owned their ass. And I feel like Texas has improved. offensively, defensively, and to sit here and think that they can't do it again. I don't care how banged up John Mateer is or isn't. I don't care if old Dr. what's his name? Shin's on the side. I don't care. I don't care who they show. Texas owns this one, brother. Give me them Longhorns big in this game.
I think you're discounting Dr. Shin is what you do. All right, next game, Shane. Revenge game.
Yeah.
Season on the line. In my preview here, Florida comes to town. Mm-hmm. Now, you know I like John Sumrall, and I think he's going to do a masterful job in Gainesville. I don't know how good they're going to be this year, but I think they'll be much improved. Of course, you can't get much worse than 4-8 with all that talent they had. So I think they'll go bowling, but that's about as nice as I can get it. Come on, big win here. Texas gets off the snide. I think they get a huge win here.
Yeah, I think, you know, Florida could be in a really good spot here for pulling off an upset, like a team you overlook. But you know what team you don't overlook? A team that kept you out of the playoffs last year. You know, the team that embarrassed you when you went down to Gainesville. So, yeah, there'll be a little extra mustard on this game, if you will. And I like Sarkisian to make this one personal. Big win for Texas.
All right, now another huge one, Shane.
Yeah.
Ole Miss coming to town. The Basket Weavers. Remember that?
Sarkisian
regret? I don't know. Trinidad, he comes in fired up. Lacey, I think a defense for Pete Golding is going to be a lot better than they were last year. They've added a lot via the transfer portal. Well, I could see a world, Shane, where this is a shootout type game.
Yeah.
Where this is a playoff type game. Winner goes to playoff, loser doesn't. I mean, I think it could be that caliber. I just don't know what to make of Pete Golding. Is he the real deal or was that a one-off? Trinidad? I think, you know, we've seen him for a full year. I don't know how you can dispute that, right?
Right, right.
So I don't know, Shane. You run your mouth, you better back it up.
Golly.
I think the Rebels, I think they made a mistake talking all that junk. I really do. I think the Basket Weavers, give me the Basket Weavers in that one.
Shit, they'll be weaving baskets over there in the third quarter because this thing's out of hand. Give me Texas big. I don't even know what we're talking about here. At home against Ole Miss, yeah, I think this is probably we may have backups in the fourth quarter.
That's what Oklahoma said when they hosted Ole Miss. And Ole Miss beat them. You know what?
I know. It's 25, man.
All right, next game, Mississippi State. They took us to the wire.
Yeah.
Man, what a game that was last year. I like Kamario Taylor. I know Mississippi State doesn't get a lot of love, even from us. But I think Zach Arnett, bringing him back to his defensive coordinator, I think that could be perhaps the best move of any coordinator hire in the SEC just because of how bad they were. I think that's in conversation. If they could just be capable on defense, they're going to beat teams maybe not multiple, and maybe not even Texas, but they're going to beat a team or two that they probably shouldn't. You know what I mean? But it ain't going to be this day. Come on, Texas. We're getting on a roll here. We're beating State's ass.
Oh, this is going to be this seems like always a good game, and it shouldn't be, but it will be. And I think Jeff Lebby will play this one close. Just not going to have enough firepower to stay with it. But yeah. It would not blow my mind if this thing isn't a one-score game going in the half, right? But I do think talent prevails. Texas got too much of it, so give me a Longhorn win here.
Don't let them hang around.
Yes. Trust me.
All right, how about the next game, Shane? Mizzou on the road.
Yeah.
Brand new rocks, brand new stadium. It's hostile down there, Shane.
Uh-huh.
With old Austin Simmons. He's an ultimate wild card. Ahmad Hardy, will he be back by now? I'm gonna say he is.
Yeah.
What do they have on defense? That's going to be the million-dollar question. I'll tell you, they could have the best defense they've ever had, Shane.
Yeah.
It won't be enough. for old Coleman and Wingo. Come on, Texas, we're getting on a roll now. We're beating Missouri's ass. You know what?
Absolutely, man. In my opinion, I feel like we're all bored. Steam ahead, right? We're talking about SEC championship at this point. We're talking about national titles. Do we sit somebody in the Texas A&M game? I don't know. But you know what you don't do? You don't overlook a team like Mizzou. I feel like this is a team that is tough, could play tough. This could be a really good football game. This is one of those trap ones that I would really have my eyes on. But I do like Texas to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, LSU. Oh, buddy. Death Valley, Lane Kiffin, Lane Train, Sam Levitt. Oh, my God. Have you heard, Shane? Have you heard LSU's elite? They're going to win it all. And oh, man, oh, man. How good will they be? I don't know. But I have said repeatedly, Shane, and I believe this, I think LSU is going to be a lot better at the end of the season than they are at the beginning. So I think you're catching them at a bad time. I believe they've already said this is a night game. I've been hyping up Oklahoma at Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas at LSU. That might be the best game of the whole year. I mean, these could be the two most talented teams. Sarkisian, Kiffin. They're very tight.
Yeah.
But Kiffin's a weirdo. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, clip it.
He's a weirdo. You know, like, I think he wants to beat his buddies more than he wants to beat people he hates. You know what I mean? Just because he can't have that in his chat group where he's losing to these guys. So give me LSU, Shane. Oh. Night game. I think that's going to be too tough for Arching. He's from out there. Do you know that, Shane? He's from New Orleans. He didn't even consider the Tigers. They're going to make him wish he had.
Oh, my gosh, Mike. Yeah, it's just, you know, I've said it a million times. I just do not think an undefeated team is going to run through this conference. I feel like you're going to trip up somewhere. And I shouldn't even say trip up, because Texas situation, there's a lot of playoff contenders they're going to be facing this season. There are very losable games scattered around. And like you said, Death Valley at night, Lane Kiffin, Lord knows what this LSU team's going to look at this point, but I do like them later in the season than I do. So I do think Texas probably going to get a loss, but it will not be this week. Give me a win, big win for Sarkisian. I feel like Lane Kiffin gets a little humble pie playing them Longhorns. Realizes he's got some work to do down there.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going somewhere else. But the fact that the over-under's 9.5.
Yeah.
That tells you there's no one's going undefeated.
No. No.
I mean, they can't even get to 10.5 for the over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. We've done this several years now, and there's been a lot sitting at 10.5. That's basically saying, hey, are they going undefeated? That's what they're kind of teeing up.
Mm-hmm. But you know who's not going to stop them from going undefeated?
Who's that?
Silver Fox. Come on.
Oh, man.
That's going to be a big win for the Longhorns at home. You know what?
It will be. Man, I love it when this game was great. I keep thinking of them coming up to Arkansas and Sam Pittman, man. I mean, Sam Pittman's stock has never been higher than beating them Texas Longhorns, but I do not. Hey, you want to get good graces? This is a good one for Silver Fox to get, but unfortunately, he will not be able to. So Texas with a win here.
Do they keep it within 3 scores?
I don't know. He'll blame the time or something. You know, hey, we had an early game last week.
So that brings us to the finale, Shane. A&M on the road. Coach Elmo, he's 0-2 against us. Oh, we've ruined their season twice in a row.
Yeah.
Who knows? A&M could be undefeated again. They got a lot of talent. We did their preview. Absolutely loaded on offense. I know they've retooled the offensive line, but they've done it via the transfer portal, via recruiting. I mean, they have attacked that in a very unique way. Coach Elko always has a good defense. But will it be good enough against the Longhorns? Because it's not been Shane. He doesn't have the answer for old Arch and his running ability. So, I think Texas should win this game. Texas owns A&M's ass.
Yeah.
But I think A&M needs it. Otherwise, Elko could get fired here, Shane. Give me the Aggies to get it done.
So you already got to win a six games?
Six Jesus. And six, best case, Texas Longhorns. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think Texas is more likely to beat A&M by six scores than for them to go six wins. So, Elko can't do – I will say this. Do I like Texas A&M? Yes. After doing the preview, I think there's a lot of good here. I feel like there are maybe some big improvements on the offensive side. I do worry a little bit about the defense, but I don't know. By the time this game happens, you got to realize two things, Mike. Elko just can't beat them. For me, I just can't get over that. It's kind of what you talked about earlier. I've got to see it before I can do it. So can A&M beat Texas? Possibly, especially at home, but I just got to see it. So no, give me Texas going undefeated, Mike. Six wins. Get the hell out of here.
Wait, didn't you just said no one's going undefeated?
They're going undefeated. I told you, I am so high on Texas right now.
I'll do a bet with you now. There's no shot in hell with this schedule. They're going undefeated.
So let's say, do you think that they'll be closer to being undefeated or six wins?
Six wins.
Well, name it. Name the bet. I'll do any bet with you.
That they don't go undefeated.
That they're more likely. No, I'm just saying. You're saying, I'm saying 12-0. You're saying 6-6. So if they're 7 or 8, you win. If they're 9, or 10 or 11, then I win, which is close.
I'm just saying no one's going undefeated. Even Georgia. We've done the Georgia preview. I said,
confident are you that they win six games? I'll make the bet if you make it even.
Oh, wait. Here, I forgot. I should have mentioned this. I was doing against the spread. So here's what I got for Texas.
Oh, shit. I knew something was up.
Even that. I got Ohio State and LSU. So 10-2. I think that's a realistic, but I'm just telling you, I mean, you're setting up everybody to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
If they think they're going undefeated in a 9 game with Ohio State on top of it, buddy, ain't nobody doing it.
Dude, you got me. You got me good there. I was like, what are you even talking? You lost your damn mind. You hate Texas, but
I think you forgot. I did that 1 year with Georgia and everybody freaked out.
Oh man, maybe
because they were favored in every game. I was like,
it's too boring. I've slept since then. Look, my face is beet red. I'm like, Steven's calling me. He's called me 3 times now.
if they go 10-2, I mean, who cares with who the two are? But even if it is LSU and Ohio, I think LSU and Ohio State are the most likely.
Yeah.
They're going to the SEC championship.
Yeah.
They're one of the first seeds, I think, probably to go to the college. Like, that's the point. The point is 10-2, and you're still hitting the over. Like, that's a damn good year.
Can I ask you, you know, 9-3 Texas didn't get into a national or the playoffs last year.
Right.
Do you think a 9-3? Because I do think this guy, they were number 3 strength of schedule.
9-3, they're in, I think.
Yeah. I do too.
In a 9 game SEC?
Yeah.
Yes. Unless, and I don't see this happening, unless there's like 2 blowout losses. You got to factor that in too. You know what I mean?
I feel like you can't lose more than 1 in November. If they lost to LSU, A&M, and Ohio State, I just feel like they would be trending in the wrong direction. It'd be tough to make that argument that they're getting better. They deserve a shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I
don't know. Ohio State, they lost to Michigan. They won the national championship.
But if they, but that's what they, what, 1 game, 2 games that year? So,
and Bama lost multiple games. They lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Georgia.
Yeah.
They got them in. They let them in.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I guess maybe the rankings, right? What, how bad did you lose?
Like, if A&M's undefeated, number 1.
Yeah.
Which is not likely. But, and they beat Texas by a field goal.
Yeah.
You ain't kicking Texas out.
No, but what if it's like an SEC championship and they just Georgia whacks it, or like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just get waxed by one of these teams. Like, we'll let them in.
So let me ask you, Shade. So here, in my opinion, and this was difficult.
Yeah.
Three most important games. I said, excuse me. It's always Oklahoma to me.
Yeah.
Whether they, I know they own their ass, but you just don't want to lose that one. I think Ohio State's important,
mm-hmm.
but you can lose it, and you could bounce back very easily.
Yeah,
but I know I was kind of trolling this whole thing, but I did say if they beat Ohio State, they're the favorites to win it all. I truly believe that, so that's why that game is important. And then A&M, you want to remain dominant, own the state.
Yeah.
You know, if a Texas fan's being honest. And I don't, you know, it's very hard to be honest about your rival. Well, I don't even know if you count them a rival, but A&M's on the rise. I'm not saying they've surpassed you because hell, they can't beat you. But if they do, you lose those bragging rights. You know, it's important to keep them below you, basically, is my point. So that's my top three. Do you have a different three, different order? What's your thoughts, sir?
I'm with you on the Ohio State. I feel like that's important. We talked about the importance of that one just for postseason and the conference, but more importantly, just like I said, planting your flag, letting them know that this is a different season. I do like Oklahoma up there. Obviously, I would put that the number one spot myself. But the third one, I kind of go around. I think Tennessee's tricky on the road. It's one that could get away from you if you're not careful, especially if you're looking ahead. And I would also throw in an LSU in there because, again, road game in November, going to have a lot of implications on it, I'm sure. And then you've still got a tough Texas A&M team on the road. So, I don't know. I feel like this team's really going to get tested this season. Season ticket holders are getting their money's worth. Finally, last couple of seasons, I feel like have been duds as far as home seat. They're going to have some awesome football games to watch this year, but, that's the only ones that I'd put Tennessee in the mix, not because I love Tennessee, but because it's important. It's a road game.
I just thought of the bet.
Yeah.
It was a good one. I think you'll sign up for it.
Okay.
And this is giving you odds too. Kind of.
Okay.
See these Texas guys?
Yeah.
If you're right, and for the listeners, they got Texas spelled on their chest.
Yes.
Texas goes undefeated for the whole next week.
Yeah.
I'll do the T one day, E, X, shirtless. I'll do Texas, right?
Okay.
If I'm right and they lose a game, you got to do 5 days. One meal at least, salad. Okay, you can have chicken, fish, beef. You put whatever you want in. But I want you to eat one salad a day for 5 days.
Potato.
Anything
salad.
You want. I'm just trying to keep you with your health strain.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate that. That's not too bad.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I'm getting the worst end of this.
No, yeah. I mean, because undefeated, right? That, which is more likely. I mean, hell, Vegas says 9.5. So that's me picking two games over. So, I could get behind that. I don't even hate salads. That's a shocker. Right? I kind of like them. But it'll be like I'll make it like my only meal. So I'll do like one meal a day. It's just one big ass salad, you know, but I'm putting some protein in it.
Okay. So take off your Longhorn glasses.
Yes.
Odds to go over the 9.5 win total, 1 out of 10, 1 being low, 10 being high.
Yeah.
What's that number for you?
8.7.
Okay. It's pretty high.
Pretty high.
But not as high as I would have thought.
Yeah.
Difficult schedule. So same question, 1 out of 10, low being high, 10 being high, or 10 being high, low being 1. Odds, Texas returns to the college football playoff.
9.9. Pencil it in.
That's even higher than 9. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, play up because I still feel like a 9-3 Texas can get in. It's harder to win 10 games in the SEC than make the playoffs. You know that.
Okay, well, I guess you might have me there, but you seem very confident.
Yeah.
Now you believe in the committee. You didn't believe in the committee against basically any of the other previews we've done.
Well, they kind of screwed them last year. I'm sure there was some stern talking to by the Texas.
Sankey got on their ass.
Sankey got on. They read a few of those text messages that, hey, we can't leave these Longhorns out again.
Hey, we got a bunch of donations. Appreciate you, Jared.
Hey, thank you, cuz.
Appreciate you, buddy. Can't wait to do the LSU preview. Simply, Mike, you have used the same logic for Texas, Oklahoma you did for Texas. Yeah. Oklahoma don't beat Texas. I said, we got that. Shane, were you planting that Texas SEC flag? I think you are, right?
Yes, sir.
Fearless. This Texas schedule has some serious bangers from Yokohama.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it was Japan or something.
Appreciate you, Liquid. Where did y'all put the straight jackets? Mike's lost his damn mind. Yep, that's fair. Simply, appreciate you, buddy. Mike, can you share a video of Lassen reacting to this video? He may not come on after anymore. I saw someone else, Shane said, Lassen's typing up his resignation. Appreciate you, ACB, Shane.
Hey, thank you, cuz.
Take the e-bike keys away from my drunk-ass hookup. And yes, broke, oh, you sucks. Cousin Lou. Mike, well, you would trigger fan... Texas fans with this preview. Yep, that's what we were going for. Drink up, cousins. Man, Cousin Lou is on one. And DA, gift card of membership, Shane, to Mr. 512 ATX. Welcome to the family. All right, buddy, anything else before we hop up on this one?
No, I was looking forward to it, man. This was a great week. A lot of real contenders this week, and I'm looking forward to – hey, brother, what is today? June 20th. So by the time we get back here, it is almost July. And you know what's at the end of July?
Maybe it is.
August. And then August comes college football. So it's like we're 2 months away. We're almost there. So I'm looking forward to it, brother, as always. And, again, thank you so much, Mike, for putting in all the work, all the effort. The trolling, it was worth it. You had me. I had to take a blood pressure pill halfway through. I didn't know if you saw that. But, I thank you so much, man.
That's going to be a fun graphic to post online. But, okay, until the next one, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you next time.
All right, see you guys. Hook 'em, horn.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.